that there'll be that communication between us that will lift each one up and help us to walk that higher plane. Brother Mark.
Good evening.
Can't preach without my pen. That too. Good evening. I would like to welcome everyone here in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, especially our mothers that are among us. For today is Mother's Day, and you're not really going to get a Mother's Day sermon. Figured you got that this morning, but maybe not. I don't know. I wasn't here. I was taking care of my wife, who is a mom. She's not here tonight either, because we have some VIPs coming in, and we don't know what time that Stacy and Nathan and the grandkids will be there. So they are VIPs, but you know, I was listening to what Jim said, and I was thinking today, you know, I was thinking, you know, a lot of things are about attitude, you know, and it's like, you know, I don't have to preach. I get to preach. You know, and it's like, I don't have to go to work tomorrow. I get to go to work tomorrow. So, you know, I tried to put things in that perspective, but I don't always do it. But I do enjoy preaching. I hope the things that I bring forth this evening were given to me of the Lord. I feel like they were, as I was going about duties that I hadn't gotten done during the week, because I've been putting in some long hours, and I don't see an end to that. So, as much as I hate to say it, I took advantage of being home today and caught up on some things. And as I was doing that, though, I thought, you know, I'm going to thank the Lord all day today. That's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to think about what He's got for me tonight. And I was thinking about moms and Mother's Day and how they're in service to their families and their kids. And then I got to thinking about us being in service. And that's where my sermon's going to be at today. You know, I was also thinking also that, you know, I know people that are married and have good marriages. And I know people that are married, but they don't have a marriage. You know, and as much as I hate to say it, I've seen it with members of the Church of Christ in different areas and a lot in the world. Those that aren't believers, they're married, but they don't have marriages. They're not committed one to another, and they're not in service to one another. And I'd like to start this evening in the book of Mark, chapter 10. Because we have an example of things that were set before us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that's just one verse. 10:45. And I think of Jesus, Him being the King of kings and Lord of lords, but yet He chose to take on flesh and come down to earth. And it says here that, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many." He didn't come down here to be served. He came down here to show us how to be in service. He didn't come down here just because He is the King and wanted all of us to bow the knee before Him at this time, but that will happen. That will happen. But He came to minister unto us, to give us an example, because we're told to follow after Him. And if you'll turn to John, the 12th chapter. John 12 and 26. This is Jesus also again, and He says, "If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So we're to be in service. We're to be in service to our Lord and Savior, but we're also to be in service to our fellow man. If you'll turn to page 212 in the Book of Mormon. I bring nothing new here tonight. You've heard many of these things over and over again. But I felt like they were laid on my heart this morning and throughout the day. Because if we'd follow after the things that we've been taught in the scriptures and that Jesus had taught us in being in service to each other, it hit me that, man, we'd have really good marriages. Because we're supposed to put ourselves not first. We're not supposed to be selfish. We're supposed to be selfless, especially being husbands. You know, and I was thinking on those matters today, being Mother's Day, is how am I in service to my wife? You know, how do I do that? Do I do it right? You know, I don't know if I do or not. I think we have a very good marriage. I'm hoping it shows that way. I feel like we do. And we've had our problems in the past, but that was my fault because I wasn't the husband that the scriptures tell me to be. I really wasn't in service to my wife and family. I was in service to myself. And that doesn't make for a good marriage. You know, you have to put yourself away and you have to think of the needs of your wife and your family first. Excuse me. Anyway, Mosiah, the first chapter. It's King Benjamin here speaking, and it's in his proclamation. And starting at verse 48, King Benjamin says, "Behold, I say unto you, that because I said unto you that I had spent my days in your service, I do not desire to boast, for I've only been in the service of God. And behold, I tell you these things that you may learn wisdom, that you may learn that when you are in service of your fellow beings, you are only in the service of your God. Behold, ye have called me your king, and if I, whom ye call your king, do labor to serve you, then had not ye ought to labor to serve one another?" And we should serve one another, as not only as members of the body of Jesus Christ and members of this church, but members of the human race. We need to be in service one to another, you know. And we need to practice that being in service somehow. And I got to thinking, boy, what better way to do that than doing it in your families, doing it for your wife. You know, practice being in service with your spouse. You know, I talk to the guys because I'm a guy, but women need to be in service to their families and husbands also. And moms, the moms I know anyway, do that. I think that was an amen. I'm sorry. Page 221. Oh, I gotta watch it. Page 221, this is also the book of Mosiah. It's the second chapter. And when I had children, I remember reading this, and it hit home pretty good because I wanted to raise my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I wanted to be a better example to them of what a husband ought to be. So hopefully that when they got old enough to get married, they could also choose good mates. And I feel like they have. So I feel like maybe I did my job there. The Lord helped me do that. There's no doubt in my mind. Second chapter of Mosiah, verse 25. "And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but to live peaceably and to render to every man according to that which is his due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel one with another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, or which is the evil spirit which hath been spoken of by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You'll teach them to love one another and to serve one another." And I can remember when the children would got to an age to where they would fight and quarrel, I like to bring this up because that told me, and it helped me explain to them why I couldn't let them do that, because I needed to teach them not to fight and quarrel. I needed to teach them how to get along with each other, so therefore they could learn to get along with other individuals of the world, other individuals that are out there. I need to teach them about truth and how to be thinkers also. And serving one another. You know, I don't have any real examples that come to my mind of that. But they don't fight and quarrel. The older they get, the closer they are. And I'm very thankful for that. It's the same way with me and my brothers. The older we've gotten, the closer we've gotten together. Did we fight and quarrel? Yeah, you bet. We were boys. Let's go to Matthew, the 18th chapter. You know, being in a work environment with mostly guys, I get to hear them complain about their spouses, their wives. You know, I get to hear them say that so-and-so, well, they do this and that and everything else. And you're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to go one-on-one. Well, I'll read it. Matthew 18, verse 15. I feel like this can apply in a marriage especially. It says, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou shalt have gained thy brother." You know, you don't go around talking about your spouse behind their back and gossiping about them. You know, if you have a problem with your mate, with your spouse, work it out one with another. You know, don't go putting them down around others. You know, discuss the problem between yourself and your mate and find a solution to the problem. Find a solution. It's a very humbling experience that when you, as Paul says, when you look inward at yourself and you see things that you don't like about yourself and you need to change it. You know, I'm very grateful that that I have a wife that does that to me in a way that doesn't embarrass me when I do things that I know I hadn't ought to do. And hopefully hopefully I'm humble enough, hopefully that's the right way to word it, that I can take that chastisement and say, okay, how am I going to fix it? One example is I'll just tell you, I'm a jokester, and I have, hopefully you haven't seen it, but I have a mean streak. And I know it's there, and occasionally it pops up. Jim may have seen it, I don't know, but I know that I can kid and tease people in a way that the scriptures call jesting that which is inconvenient, and I hope I've worded that correctly. And we were down at theme camp one years ago. I can't remember how many years ago, but it was years ago. And in the adult Sunday school class on Sunday morning, we were reading that scripture right in that area. And Glenn and Margaret were there, and I don't remember who else. But I asked what that was. I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't 100% sure. And when Margaret explained it to me, she explained it in a way that I understood exactly what it was. And I said, man, I do that. And I thought, boy, now I got to fix it. And I've related it to others in the past. And hopefully when they see me doing that, all I have to do is just say, Mark, because when they do, I know what I need to do is quit. Laura Gill was, she's one that I like to tease because I like her. And I can get out of hand with it. And one day she just looked me in the eye and says, not now. And she was right. And I had to quit and apologize. But when I read Matthew 18 and 15, it tells me that I need to take my problems not just with anybody, just me and them. I need to especially do it with my wife. There it is. Because I love her. And I don't want to embarrass her in front of people. And I don't want her to embarrass me in front of people. And I've gained a friend. 15th chapter of John. These are some scriptures that I feel like helped me become a better servant. Not just being in Christ's ministry, but a better servant as an individual. You don't have to be a minister to be in service. Because we should all be in service one to another in our families. To set that example, especially for our children. Where am I at? John 15, verse 12. Verse 12 and 13, this is Jesus again, and he says, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Then he goes on to say that he had called them their friends. And he not only laid down his physical life. And we may not be called to lay down our physical life for our friends or for our wives or our husbands, but we need to put our life aside. Our life is in lots of times the things that we want more than being in service to our fellow human beings. Because Christ gave the example. He laid down his life, not only physically, but he went about teaching us how we ought to be. Yeah. Then I put that together with Ephesians 5. Starting at verse 25. And it says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself." You know, up there in verse 25, and where it says, "Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." You know, we also need to love our wives and give ourselves for them. It's an action word, gave and give. It's things that you do, as in, well, I got this whole list of things that I really ought to do around the house, but you know what? It's opening day of deer season. What do you do? Well, it depends on how important those things are. No, no, you need to take care of your families. Oh, I hadn't even thought of this for quite a while. When my kids were smaller, they used to go to Dan and Manon's on Friday nights for. Is it children's choir? Is that what it's called? For children's choir. Well, Leslie, she wore glasses at that time. We didn't get her contacts. She wore glasses, and afterwards the kids would get to playing and this and that. And it was a Friday night, and the next morning was opening day of deer season. And as they were playing, her glasses came off, and somebody stepped on them and bent them up where she couldn't wear them. They were broken. Lana was upset, and I wasn't real happy, but I was unhappy for the wrong reasons. I wasn't unhappy because it was going to cost us money to get her glasses fixed and stuff. I knew that I had to go with the family to get new glasses, and it was opening day of deer season. Knowing the scriptures, I said, Lord, if I do this the way you want me to do it, I just ask that you might bless me during deer season. So I did the right thing. And I hope nobody... This is the only testimonies I know of are the ones of myself, so I hope nobody thinks I'm putting myself up here, because I'm not. It's just, it happened and it was good. I went with Lana and Leslie, and we got her glasses fixed, and it took most of the morning, and afterwards all was well. And so I loaded up my truck and I went to the deer woods where I hunted at that time, and it was late morning, and I walked into the woods and I sat down, and within 15 minutes the biggest buck I ever shot walked by. And because I had asked the Lord for I'd asked him for a good hunt. So I didn't get it. I got the deer, but I also had to hunt. Because I didn't put this deer down with the first shot. I had to track him for a while and stuff. But you know what? It made it that much better, actually, in the end. Because I actually had to do some work. But yet the Lord blessed me and answered my prayer that I had asked him, that if I took care of my family like I knew the scriptures told me to, I asked him if he would bless me in the hunt, and he did. And I hope that makes sense to everybody, because I really wanted to go hunting at daybreak. I'm a selfish individual at times, and we all are, but we're asked to give up of ourselves and put other people first. James. This is another one that comes to my mind and helps me out a lot. I feel like it's helped Lannon. I feel like it's helped me become a better husband. But I think it can help us all become better individuals. Because a question that I had when I was thinking of being in service and stuff is well, how do we do this in service stuff? So I'm hoping that some of the scriptures that I'm bringing forth will help each and every one of us be in service to each other. In James, in the first chapter, verse 19, it says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." When I read that, it tells me, why don't you listen? Listen to what my wife has to say. Listen to what my children had to say, you know. Because when you sit down and listen to them, and listen to kids, I should say, they're pretty smart. You know, they really are if you listen to them. And how else are you going to find out what problems there are that you need to try to take care of or to comfort them if you don't listen? Jerry Case helped me to understand this once, and he didn't even know he did it. I think he was preaching, and he said, how many times when you're talking with somebody are you more worried about what you're going to say instead of what they're saying? That was another time I had to set back, because I do that also. When I was talking with somebody about whatever it might be, I was thinking, well, instead of listening to what they were telling me and trying to soak it in and to understand what they're saying, I was more worried about what I was going to say. I wasn't listening. You know, I think it was Gary Smalley I was reading once, and he was talking about listening, and he was talking about especially listening to your spouses. And you know, I didn't realize it, but have you ever went, Have you ever went through a drive-thru like at McDonald's or Hardee's or any of these places? You go up to that speaker and they ask you what your order is and you tell them what it is and then they say it back to you and ask you if that's what you ordered. They do that for a reason, to make sure they don't get it wrong. They do that to make sure that they understood what it is that you ordered. And he related that to listening. You know, make sure you ask some questions sometimes. Make sure you understand what the person's saying to you, especially if it's over a matter that is contentious. You know, you might have to say, well, is this what you said, and is this what you meant? Well, because we have a tendency to interpret things in a way that sometimes it wasn't meant to be interpreted. Andy Brown was driving home from one of our conferences, I think, and he had a flat tire and rolled his truck in the median. Oh, everybody, by the time I got it, he had rolled his truck and, you know, it was turned over and everything else. And then when I found out the true story, he had a flat tire and they pushed it off to the side of the road. They rolled it into the median. So it's all in your interpretation of the words that are said. You know, I completely took it the wrong way. I thought, well, Andy had a flat tire and he rolled his truck. Instead of, he had a flat tire and they pushed it to get it off the road. So we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak, so we can truly understand. And one of the most major things that we can do is to have charity. Page 768. You've heard this so much from this pulpit, you should be able to quote it. I can't, so I'm going to read it. And if you've just heard it from up here sometime, take the time to look at the attributes of charity. Take those things in between those commas and ask God what they're telling you. Seventh chapter of Moroni, the 51st verse, and it says, And charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, you are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. Now, I'm not going to go over all those things that make up charity, the pure love of Christ. But sometime, if you haven't done it now, look at those things and see if you're doing them. See if you do that with your spouse, so you and with your children and with the people around you. You know, sometimes, especially when I'm at work, I have to remember some of the things that are in the Bible and in the Scriptures about work, that I am in service to my God and that I need to, what's that say? Suffer long. I have to be long-suffering and endureth all things, because I should be doing my work as if I'm doing it for Christ. And I have to stand here and tell you, I don't always do that. Because we need to be a good example to our children and to each other so we can truly be called Christians. I hope that the things that I have brought to your mind tonight might help us out to be closer brothers and sisters and closer husbands and wives with each other. So thanks for listening to me ramble on. I I did get to preach. And I liked it. And tomorrow, when I know I've got to put in a long day, I'm going to try to remember the things that I preached to myself here tonight, because I get to get up and go to work. And it's a blessing. Thank you very much.